In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. What a difference a week makes. Last week we had a guy who couldn't speak and couldn't hear, and without even a problem at all, Jesus heals him, and he says, "Oh, he does all things well," and it was a great, great, wonderful end of the story, right? This week, a little different. Times have changed. At this point, Jesus and three of the disciples are coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, where he had shown his glory. So the last week's event was prior. This is as they're coming down, having seen Elijah and Moses and the glory of Jesus. And as they come down to where the other disciples are waiting, they see a crowd. And there's a crowd arguing, surrounded by this man whose son is there, who is deaf and mute, and has had all kinds of troubles with seizures and being thrown into fires and drowning by a demon. The man brings this little boy to Jesus and the disciples to see if he can help them. Could they do something? He's a desperate man. He's done everything else, really. The rest of the disciples, other than Jesus and the three that were with him, look like a bunch of losers. They couldn't do a thing. They were no help to the man whatsoever. And so there's a lot of unhappiness. Jesus doesn't seem too happy either as the man comes. He's almost exasperated. "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" In other words, how would we say that today? How long do I got to put up with you guys and your lack of faith? Come on. He orders the father to bring the boy to him, and immediately the demon throws the boy into a convulsion. The man's desperate and says, "Can you do anything to help him?" And what's Jesus' response? If I can, what are you talking about? All things are possible for the one who believes. And you think, is this the same Jesus as last week chastising him? Why the change? Well, I think part of it has to do with context. Jesus, again, returning from the Mountain of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, where he's been talking to them about what? How he's going to now go down this mountain and go to the cross. We heard it in the Old Testament text, that prophecy of Isaiah that you know is about Jesus. And we're at that turning point where it says he turned his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. All that had been going on before, all the healing, all the teaching, now takes a different shape as Jesus comes down the mountain and he's got one thing in his mind. I'm going to walk to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to be crucified for the sins of the world and suffer before that crucifixion and die and rise. It's a long journey ahead of him. And so, as important as it is, this is a little bit of a sidetrack to stop again and heal. He seems angry, almost. Not angry at the Father. I think we need to be clear about that. But he does seem to be angry at the devil and the demons and the chaos that they bring in this world, the sadness that he sees in this man and his son. He's angry at the scribes. If you look at the text, they're in the midst of the crowd stirring up trouble in some religious argument about who's right, who's wrong. That doesn't make him too happy. He's angry at the unbelief that hangs over this event like a cloud, like he sees so many other times. Maybe he's upset at his clueless disciples and the crowds who are just looking for something. How many miracles does he have to do before people will finally believe? That's kind of the question. What more do I got to do for you to finally trust me? For every miracle in one city, he comes to the next city, and what does he find? More unbelief, more demands. It never seems to get better, and that's always the point. Miracles don't create faith. All that miracles do is create a desire for more miracles. And as soon as you don't get the miracle you want, what do? Head out and start looking for somebody else. Who else will give me what I want? I'll take my business elsewhere. The disciples failed, and so the man's quick. Where else? Oh, there's Jesus. Let me give him a shot. And if he doesn't do it, what do you think the guy will do then? Let me see who's next on the list. Got to be somebody. It's the way it goes. If you don't get what you want, you shop around until you find what you do. And if Jesus and his crew can't fix it, maybe somebody else can. All things are possible for one who believes. It's interesting. Jesus says to the man, it's not if I can. It's really a different phrase, if you're willing. The man should have said, if you are willing, have compassion on us. Just as we pray in the prayer, don't we? Thy will be done, not mine. What is it that you desire in my life, God? What is your will? It doesn't tell us necessarily for every single situation in life. So many people struggle with that. Does God want me to go to the University of Washington or WSU, who won the football game yesterday, by the way? God doesn't say. God, what is your will? Lead me, direct me. It's not a matter of whether Jesus can do something. We already said he can do all things. But is he willing to do? Is this what his desire is for you? With faith, all kinds of possibilities open, no matter what the answer is. It's how we can pray for a miracle and then go see the doctor at the same time. We pray and trust that in all things he's going to work his will, and it is good for the one who believes. That doesn't mean that you get everything you want if you believe hard enough, and so if you don't get what you want, you just got to believe more. No. It means that every possibility is an opportunity for you to trust God, that whatever his will be good and best for you. That goes to really the heart of this man. Now the man gets it right. Some honest faith talk here. I believe, help my unbelief. Boy, you can't really say it better than that, can you? I believe, help my unbelief. Simultaneously, believer and unbeliever, this is the real deal, the way your faith is and my faith is. It's how faith sounds. I believe you. I trust you. But boy, help my unbelief. It struggles with doubt at the same time. Faith's not something to boast about. We don't talk about how great our faith is. Well, some will try. Or when somebody we know is going through a hardship, go, oh, they have such great faith, don't they? Oh, I wish my faith. Or when people say, well, I have my faith, at least I've got that. You go, no, we don't boast about our faith as if it's some commodity that we stir up within ourselves. The truth be told, you and I are all mixed bags of faith and unbelief at the same time. Sometimes the one is strong, and then the other times, pretty weak. And when things get really messy and complicated and downright demonic, and even with you and your greatest faith wavers, we too start to ask, can Jesus help me? And lose sight of the willing part. Jesus sees the crowd running toward him, and so he quickly rebukes the spirit because, well, demons have to obey him. He says, get out, and they get out. And the boy, we don't know how old, he convulses, goes to the ground, and it says he looks like he's dead. Everyone thinks he's dead. Maybe he is dead. Everything has gone from bad to worse. Can you imagine the father? The disciples couldn't help. They go to Jesus. Maybe he can help. Jesus says he's going to help and cast out a demon. And then what do you have? You have Jesus standing there and a boy on the ground that's dead. And now what does the father do? Jesus isn't done yet. And you have to wonder, maybe this is part of his plan. Remember when they found out, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is about to die. What does Jesus say? Oh, well, let's go the other way. We'll go in a few days. Make some stretch. The man wasn't sure if Jesus could rid the son of the demon, and he learned to trust Jesus, and now he has to trust him even more. Can he overcome this situation too? Could he help him now? It's almost as if Jesus says, I'm going to turn up your faith to number 13. Let's see how good we can do. The man prayed, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And you'd say, in many regards, Jesus is doing exactly what he asked. Let's stretch it. Let's make your faith strong. Let's exercise this for you. Will you trust me when your son seems dead? Just a silent moment where the boy lays there motionless. Jesus reaches out his hand and he lifts up the boy. Interesting Greek word there, aneste. It's the Greek word for to raise up or to resurrect. Jesus reaches out his hand and this boy who is dead, he's lifted up and raised to new life. In the house, Jesus and the disciples discuss it. Why couldn't we cast him out? Why didn't it work for us, Jesus? We were doing pretty well. We had all kinds of great things happening. And he kind of says this cryptic, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Maybe it's a reminder to the disciples, soon to be apostles, that the power over things does not rest in them. That really it's God the Father who has all the power. That the forces they're dealing with are a little tougher than they imagine. What Jesus did for the boy and the father, he does for all of us by his cross, by his resurrection. Jesus absorbs sin and death in himself. He absorbs the devil and all of his might and conquers humanity's greatest and fiercest enemy, death itself, by his death and resurrection. By dying and rising, he becomes sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. In his death, he conquers. He baptizes us into his death that we might conquer too, that we might be raised up and have a new life. And so we walk our days crying out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'd say that's the daily prayer of every Christian. I believe. Help my unbelief this day. By the grace of God, we believe. But as sinners, saints, there's still an unbelieving heart of the old Adam in us that wants to fight, doubts, struggles. Or are your days just always easy? I don't think so. It's always a structure, a hard spot, a strange mixture of faith and unbelief all wrapped up in one day. Every day, a call for repentance. Every day, a change of mind. Every day, a return from unbelief to trusting in Jesus. Every day, a dying and rising in baptism. Every day until we finally do die. And then, as the story, Jesus reaches out his hand and raises us up to new life with him in the kingdom of heaven. All things are possible for the one who believes, because with God, is anything impossible? No, nothing. Not your forgiveness, not your life, not your salvation, not your standing before God. In all things in Christ, we have the possibility of life. Rest in him in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing together the offertory printed in the bulletin.